life better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you ripe when you don't get a hard one.
That's right, friends. You hear it. It's the In the Garden theme song. The phones made the connection. We got through to Ed. Miracles do happen. All right. Well, and so In the Garden is sponsored in part by The Flower Farm, reminding everybody it's time to plant your veggies. Tomato plants with blooms, trees, shrubs, perennials, annuals, organic black gold soil, and organic compost are available. They're open every day but Wednesday, 772-3464, out there at 6 Rory Road, Papke's Landing. That's The Flower Farm.
Put them in a salad, put them in a stew. You can make your very own tomato juice. You can eat them with eggs, you can eat them with gravy. Eat them with beans, pinto or navy. Put them on a side, put them in the middle. Put a homegrown tomato on a hot cake griddle. Homegrown
tomato. All right, and we've got Ed Bajarski, Southeast Alaska's premier master gardener, on the phone. Ed, how are ya?
Well, you're still piling it on a little there, Oren, but yeah, it's nice here for now. Let's see, there's blue sky looking at coming our way, at least a patch of it. Supposed to go downhill for the weekend, though. Supposed to be a wet weekend, but okay, we've had some beautiful sunshine, and the rain is good to help moisten things and make everything perk up again.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we're coming off a weekend of sunshine, and just in time for the holiday festival, we've got the rain back. So things are, of course it is.
Right, and we're having primrose garden tours this weekend here. Ooh, nice. On Saturday and Sunday, plus a presentation workshop Sunday evening also. So that'll show how hardy primroses are for our conditions.
Yep. Well, that's good. Yeah, that's just that's nature, you know. That's where we live.
Well, yes, it is. So one of the things we can talk about today, hopefully, I'm assuming people have most of their potatoes are planted, and cabbages and broccoli and carrots and other sort of good stuff in the ground. I've just been planting most all of that in the past week. Finally got my tomatoes out of the house. They are hardening off. They are going in the greenhouse this weekend.
All right.
Along with cucumbers. And I'm starting to do some dividing of primroses. Those primroses that are the first bloomers, the early bloomers, best time for dividing is immediately after they finish blooming. Mm. Because then they will, once you get them replanted, then they will grow new roots, new leaves, and then will set, they should all flower next year. So that's with fairly minimal trauma overall, and that's kind of what we hope for, is less trauma in the garden.
Yeah. Okay, that's a good tip. So once they've kind of activated with that bloom, then they're ready to really take hold post-division?
Yes, exactly. So they're going to be spreading and multiplying, and so what I do with the two most common types for the early bloomers are the drumsticks or pom-poms that come in white and pinks to reds and lavenders. And so those are really easy. So you can dig up a whole clump of them and clip off the flower buds, or the flower stems, which would potentially become seeds, but we don't need, at least with those, normally we don't need seeds. They increase well enough by themselves. But you dig a whole clump of them off, dig them out, shake off what soil will come off easily, and then actually wash off the soil, the rest of it, in a bucket of water or in a wheelbarrow or just gently with a hose. And from there, that clump of the drumsticks, the pom-poms, you can just pull them apart from each other. And normally then they get a haircut. They'll get their flower stems cut off. And they can even, if I'm doing a lot of them, I've got just some kitchen shears that I will actually clip the roots back to about 4 inches and the tops back to about 4 inches.
Hmm.
And then we go to replant in hopefully some good rich garden bed that's, reasonably well drained. You've got compost mixed in, some fertilizer mixed into that. And I usually plant clumps of 3 or 4 or 5, maybe 6 to 8 inches apart.
Hmm.
by the time next year, by next spring, and by the end of the summer, you will have a nice healthy, each one of those will be nice healthy plants, which each one of those should give one or more blooms, mm-hmm. those big stems next year. So again, we're making kind of a close clump, you know, like I said, 3 to 5 plants mm-hmm. in a clump 8 or so inches apart. So by next year, again, that will be pretty much a solid patch and giving lots of flowers. May very well have extras. You may have extras, and hopefully you've got a place to put them in your garden or in your neighbor's garden, or you have a plant sale, which is kind of what has led to my business, certainly, because they are prolific. They do well, and lots of people want them as early spring color.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a really good way to get them spread around. And same thing, you know, if you see some in somebody else's yard, particularly maybe a color that you don't have, you know, since there are these different shades, if gardeners are a pretty friendly bunch, and you know, maybe you can knock on the door and ask, hey, is there any chance I could get a start from your whatever it happens to be, not necessarily just primroses, mm-hmm. but that's a good way to meet people, and maybe you've got something different. Say, hey, I've got some of these over here. You want to try some of these as a trading stock or whatever, mm-hmm. or you swap some fish or you know whatever else it takes, some garden produce.
Yeah, it's
perhaps
a bit of cross pollination.
I mean, in last resort, you know, you can always offer cash.
Yeah,
that works too. Cash is nice.
The least exciting form of transaction in the gardening community, though.
Right. Widen it out a bit.
Yeah.
So then the other, probably one of the most common ones that is also just finishing blooming are the Julie hybrids. So these are, you may have seen these around, the most common one is called Dorothy. It's sort of a creamy, pale yellow to white. And that's one, it's shorter. Only usually grows about 6 inches, so 4 to 6 inches tall. But then there's also other colors of them that are, there's reds and pinks and yellows and full whites, too. So there's various different kinds. And they all have the same growing habit, too, in that when you dig up a clump of those, very often, sometimes you can pull them apart after you wash them off. But a lot of times you'll have to actually cut them apart with have a sturdy knife that you can use to cut in between chunks. So you usually want, ideally, 3 or 4 growing points. You can see where the flowers and the leaves are coming from. And then that makes a reasonable clump then when you go to split up. And sometimes, you know, some of these clumps or patches may be 1 foot across or more, depending on how old or how long it was since they were last divided. Then you may be able to get 10 to 15 pieces for replanting or potting or sharing, too. So, again, that's a great one. Then you might start looking at, well, what about my other primroses? Some of them that are just starting to send up flower buds or stems, we usually don't want to disturb those at this point, unless you've got a lot of them. And, again, maybe you need to move some or you want to plant something new. A different primrose from somebody else, perhaps. So those usually, the ones that are kind of mid-season, like June or July, that they will flower. You can dig up some of those that they may have seeded themselves, and you have small plants. You can dig them up, again, move them, share them, pot them up, or whatever you need to. And those can very often, again, if you're careful with the way you dig them, and for these, I wouldn't take all the soil off. I'm actually trying to dig them with a handful or more of soil, shovelful of soil, still attached to the roots, and move those. And very often, if you're quick, you know, get them out of the ground and back in the ground and water them well. They may not even notice that they've been moved, and then they will be able to grow in a different place. Or, yeah, it might be somebody else's yard, perhaps. But that's worth trying. And then there's a few varieties like the Florindes, which are the late blooming, really fragrant bells. Some of those are hardly even showing. Another one, Primula Viale. Some people call them a red hot poker. Again, those are hardly even showing little bit of leaf growth. Hmm. and you want to be careful. You want to wait until you can definitely see them. Hopefully you mark where they were from last year, or you remember. Or there may be still the old fairly stiff flower stems on them. So then those, too, can be divided at this time of year if you know where the plant is and you know what kind of a root system it has, that they can be split up. And for some of those, it may take a sharp shovel if you go digging up a clump. Or kind of, I think we discussed digging up, I've got a young man here digging a hole for a tree, and he's almost there, a little wider yet. But anyway, if you get those dug out and getting them ready to move, then that can really be, you're essentially maybe even, dare I suggest, reducing your lawn area and making bigger flower beds. Since lawn is a four-letter word after all.
Yeah.
But, you can have more, and one of the things we've discussed, and this works great with primroses and other assorted perennials, that whether you divide them now, early, or in mid-season, like with iris and other stuff, maybe you're going to make a new bed out there on top of your lawn where, I think we talked a little bit about this before, put cardboard down right on top of the lawn, like 2, 3, 4 layers of cardboard, and then soil, good rich soil on top of that. Maybe use rocks for a border or something else to make it look interesting, or perhaps landscaping blocks. Even, but again, that's a good place for something like that too.
Yeah, that's pretty simple way to just dive in and start.
Okay, hang on, just a moment. Got a brief interruption.
We were talking about having one. I've got another one.
He's a busy man, Ed. Yeah. Well, that's cool. We're learning a lot about splitting up perennials. Primroses, best practices for expanding your perennial territory, good ideas around how to split up, when to split up, lots of good stuff. And I appreciate his suggestion that you can mix and match primrose varieties with your community of gardeners around you. You know, and speaking of the community of gardeners, I'm reminded of an item from Tradio yesterday. For anybody out there listening who's an avid, capable gardener who happens to have a lot of free time on their hands or is looking to supplement their income in any way, I do remember that Brian Paust called into Tradio yesterday morning hoping to hire a gardener. And to the best of my knowledge, I don't think we have a hireable gardener in Petersburg right now. If I'm mistaken, I would be happy to be informed otherwise, but Brian is kind of inviting somebody to create a job for themselves to fill that vacancy in our local community, and he had offered on Tradio to sort of be the first customer, and he suggested that he knew a number of other would-be customers for a capable, experienced gardener willing to help make beautiful gardens for some households that are less capable of personally doing that work. So that's, for those listening out there right now, that is an opportunity that you can hopefully pursue. All right, I think we hear Ed is coming back to the phone. Ed.
We're having a discussion about where does the tree go.
Oh, yeah.
So let's switch gears just a little bit here on tree planting and deciding. Of course, it's good to decide that before the hole is dug where the tree should go.
Uh-huh.
But also think about, look overhead. In this case, in this subdivision I'm gardening in, there are no overhead power lines, so that's a plus. We also want to make sure that you're behind, onto your own property from the city right-of-way. Mm-hmm. Because if you plant onto the right-of-way, then, if the city decides to do water line work or electrical work or whatever else, they can just wipe it out, dig it up, tear it down, cut it off, pretty much without having to really consult you. Or maybe you get lucky and they say, hey, we're coming through here with the big excavator, you better get that tree out of the way or else.
Wow.
Or we will take it out for you.
Yeah.
So, again, thinking about where where to put it. Think about what the tree needs that you're going to plant. Mm-hmm. Does it need full sun? Does it need good drainage? Mm-hmm. And so that can be a limiting factor. I know how damp things can be in Petersburg, and particularly with the muskeg and such there, that you may have to do some extra heroic efforts, or you may have to make a raised bed, raised mound, or something like that to plant the tree onto, and then pile soil up around it.
Yeah.
So that's a concern again, and even that goes back even to the planting of the primroses, that you put them in the right place where they will thrive. So there are some varieties that are perfectly happy down in the bottom of this ditch that's out here in front of me. Mm-hmm. And they can tolerate lots of moisture, like the Florindes and Japonicas. And then there's other kinds that like drier soils. So that's worth considering what and where you put them.
Yeah, that's a good reminder that one of the most crucial elements of a well-executed garden is the planning and learning.
Yep.
Sort of during and whenever possible before.
And I think I may have to cut you off here, Oren, because I've got folks here I need to talk to.
Okay.
So we're gonna have to continue this one for next week, I think.
Okay, sounds good.
More on tree planting and all of that sort of thing, okay?
Yeah, let's pick it up again next week. All right, thanks, Ed.
Okay, good now. Thanks.
Okay. Well, it's been an adventurous In the Garden with Ed Bajarski. It's a busy time of year for the garden, there's a lot to be done. Oh, yeah. And tree planting. Boy, oh, boy. Yeah, you want to know what you're getting into. It reminds me of the idea of you see like a little pig, like a pet pig, a little teacup pig, if that's what they're called or whatever. You purchase a little smart little swine buddy, and like 2 years later, it's the size of your sofa, and your whole life has changed. I think we've seen little stories like that come up. It's a little bit like that when you're planting a tree, Make sure you know what your tree will become, Use your minds. Ask questions. Think ahead. When you're planting your garden, think about this season, think about next year, and think about year and year and years ahead. It's all part of the magic of it, Planting a seed now to let it grow into something beautiful that you could only imagine what it might be. And, so I suppose we can leave it at that. We'll pick it up next week. We'll talk more about planting, hardening off your tomatoes, making sure they're getting what they need in your greenhouse, and, planting your veggies. And just tending to the garden at this early part of the growing season. We do want to thank Ed for, squeezing us in today. And thank you all for listening. And really, if you want to put a question to Ed Bajarski for next week, you can call me at the station here, or you could shoot me an email. It could be on any topic related to your garden for this time of year, and we will put it to the master. Master Gardener Ed Bajarski knows what's up, and he's willing to share that knowledge very generously with us. So with that, we can wrap up In the Garden for today. We do want to thank our sponsor, The Flower Farm. They're reminding everybody it's time to plant your veggies. Tomato plants with blooms, trees, scrubs, perennials, annuals, all over there at The Flower Farm, along with organic black gold soil and organic compost. They're open every day but Wednesday, 772-3464 at 6 Rory Road, Papke's Landing. All right.
Culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging. Every time I go out and pick me a bit. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'll I be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.
We're happy to dive back into Melina Marvin's Norwegian playlist with Norwegian folk songs all the way up to contemporary Norwegian hits that you'd hear on the radio if you're driving cross country from Oslo to Bergen today.